This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Okay, coming to you live from the Quicken Loans Studios, national mortgage lender Quicken Loans. Apply simply, understand fully, and mortgage confidently. Well, 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 what do you know? Rockets, come to fight a little bit, make this thing interesting. And we'll certainly make it interesting for you next couple of hours. Tiki and Tierney on a Thursday nationwide, 3 hours every day for you, 3 to 6 Eastern, on CBS Sports Radio, CBS Sports Network. Tate, what's happening?
Buddy, how are you today? You were right. You called it. Rockets would win. I mean, you knew they would win one of these, and eventually they'd get hot, and Eric Gordon trying to act like Steph Curry, shooting from all over the place and knocking them down. You're going to win those type of games, but the bigger side of it is what happened to Steph Curry, who was a, he was a liability in game one on defense, but felt even more so in game two last night. And that's really the difference. He became a defensive liability, and then he was basically nothing on offense as well. And if he's that way, the Golden State Warriors don't win. It's not sustainable, but they don't win if he doesn't have his day. It's not about KD. It's more about Steph than it is about KD.
KD's a given at this point.
Of course,
he's a constant.
He's going to give you 38 every night.
You know, there's no basketball tonight.
I know.
There's no basketball tomorrow.
I know.
How in the world can you not have NBA playoffs on Friday night? I want to sit there with a scotch after a long week of work.
Without having to
watch basketball.
Without having to worry about getting up and talking about it. But there's baseball. I mean, there's baseball on, BT.
I understand.
You're a baseball guy. You got to love baseball.
I'll be watching my Yankees, and I'll be checking out MLB Network and whatever, but... Man, I want to just keep going with this.
I know,
this
I hear what you're saying.
I don't want to stop.
I know, it's more interesting when it feels like it's every other day.
Uh-huh.
You switch off between games. It's not like, you know, earlier on in the postseason when there's two or three games every night. So it had to be every other night because there's so many games they had to fit in. Now there's only two series. It's much harder to find acceptable sports television. You're gonna have to get into all the other things that you watch on TV, BT.
Hey, am I alone in I was laughing so hard last night. Did you see it was in a post game show on TNT? I don't know if you stayed
with
it the whole time.
No, I didn't stay to watch it.
The promo for Uncle Drew movie? The Uncle Drew movie?
But
did
I've
you
seen
guys
it.
See this?
I've seen it. I you know what? I kept thinking.
Are you kidding me? This thing looks hysterical.
But I kept thinking it was just another like viral video that they were doing.
I
didn't realize it was a full movie.
That's what I initially think. I spent 10 minutes. I just typed in Uncle Drew on Twitter and I was reading the mentions and everybody, the comments, I had tears coming out of my eyes. It was hysterical. I'm going to go see this movie. Uncle Drew looks awesome. It's like, I don't know what, I don't even know what to compare it to because there's no real like goofy, dumb sports movies. But it's like
Caddyshack is goofy and dumb.
Well, that's true. That's a good one. Mm-hmm. That is a good one.
But that's 30 years old at this time.
I think it's a little more at this point. And I hate to say this because I love Caddyshack, but I have brought this up before. I'm not so sure if that humor and people challenge me on this with vigor, and I would hope that they would because you want to protect the great real estate of Caddyshack. I don't know if it's that funny today. I'm sorry. I just don't. I watch it. I love it. And I love golf. And I love the characters. But is it really, truly that funny?
Doesn't last the test of time?
I don't know that it does.
I haven't watched it enough recently to know.
I don't know that it does. I think. Whereas now, this is certainly more recent, although it's still pretty much in our rearview mirror. But something like Dumb and Dumber, I don't know. I still find that funny. Like where I'm laughing out loud.
Well, it's because Dumb and Dumber. It's because they're idiots.
Yeah, but there's both comedies. You know what I mean? They're both
true.
In theory, supposed to make you laugh.
True, but
that's
the
genre.
Yeah, but I think Caddyshack was more about golf when golf wasn't as mainstream.
Oh,
as
no
it.
Question.
And
no
so
question about it.
You could poke fun at the stereotypes of the game that only the affluent
the
play.
Affluence.
Yeah,
the...
but now it's everywhere. So
yeah.
it doesn't feel as exclusive
I don't know.
Whereas Dumb and Dumber are just two idiots driving around like idiots.
Oh, they are hysterical. All right, listen, here's the thing about you know, what after the first game, I said, I'm not going to pronounce the Rockets dead. Mm-hmm. I'm not going to pronounce the Rockets dead. I'm not going to give much of a chance to win this thing, like as I pronounced the Cavaliers dead. They're over. But I didn't quite, I wasn't so final and so inflexible in my final assertion for the Rockets.
Yep.
And the reason I said that, and it's funny because this played out last night. I did think they would win last night. I said that before we get off the air. But what happened in game one? Trevor Ariza, boom, boom, early foul.
Yep.
Come back in, boom, back to the bench. Couldn't flow, couldn't play. Minutes were jumbled. Everything disrupted. Play very few minutes, had no impact.
Yep.
Last night, plus minus of nearly 30.
I know.
I mean, he played almost, you know, he played 30-something, 35 minutes,
yep.
Right? Eric Gordon was the other variable. Now, I didn't even mention Tucker as I was trying to find a light of optimism for the Rockets after a thorough beatdown in game one. But I did bring up Gordon along with Trevor Ariza.
Yep.
And Gordon was great. Banged in 27, 6 out of 9 from 3. So I guess the questions that you have to ask now. Number one, can a role player like Tucker, he's not going to drop 20-plus every night, nor does he have to. But can he have an influence one or two times at Oracle? I mean, that's a question.
Yep.
I know he'll probably do it in Houston again. Will he do it in Oakland?
Well, I think he can. But let me ask you this, BT. Is this more about what the Rockets are doing? Or is it more?
Well, last night it was. I thought it was.
A little bit.
Pace change.
I think it's a combo. But is it also about what the Warriors are not able to do? Because, I mean, think about the contrast between game one and game two from the Warriors standpoint. Obviously, we'll talk about the Rockets because they were unbelievable, right?
Yeah.
James Harden was James Harden. Chris Paul, he did his thing. He didn't have a huge, explosive night scoring, but he did his thing when he had to. They had great scoring from the bench. Eric Gordon, you were just talking about.
I don't like seeing him hobble, though, by the way.
I don't either.
At the end of the
game,
he's limping around a little bit.
No, he's hurt. Everybody's talking about Steph hurt. Chris Paul is definitely
hurt. He's always hurt.
And he's warring through this.
Oh, he played his behind off. He played tenaciously.
We'll see if he can do it. But think about what the difference was between game one and game two. Mm-hmm. In game, it's the same thing. Kevin Durant is going to be Kevin Durant. He's going to score 38-ish points every night. And there's really nothing that the Warriors can do about it, right? They can't.
The Rockets.
I mean, there's nothing the Rockets can do about it.
Mm-hmm.
Trevor Ariza, that's why he got in foul trouble.
Because
he's always on KD, and he's just overmatched. He gets backed down. He gets shot over. There's nothing he can do.
There's really nobody in the league that can do anything
Agreed.
About it.
And so it's almost like.
Why he's Kevin Durant.
The difference between game one and game two is it looked like the Rockets said, okay, KD, go be KD.
Mm-hmm.
Do whatever you're going to do. Because you will by yourself, just like James Harden by himself can't beat the Warriors, KD, you by yourself can't beat us. You can't beat us, the Rockets, by yourself. So we're going to let you do what you do. We're going to keep you single cover. We're not going to even switch on you. Let's go after Steph Curry.
Mm-hmm.
And we'll wear him out defensively, which they did, just like they did in game one. And then we're going to get after you when you have the ball on offense and make you give it up. And so the difference when you look at it was that Steph didn't have as good a day as he had in game one. And that's the difference. It's not necessarily, you know, what Houston is doing. It's how they're shutting down this Golden State Warriors team. And by shutting down, I mean making Steph Curry be an after. What do you have, 1 3-pointer he knocked down? I mean, he just wasn't a very effective. He had to work for every shot. And sometimes those will go down for him, but they weren't last night. And when they don't, it's really hard for him to, you know, for this Golden State Warriors team to win without Steph Curry being Steph Curry, especially against a 65-win Houston Rockets team. You know what I mean?
Well, this is what we wanted. We wanted some intrigue
here. I agree, man.
And we have
it
now.
I love this.
Me too. And Reggie was hinting at this last night. He said, get ready for Steph Curry to go bonkers in game three. And I would co-sign that. You know, it wouldn't surprise me if Steph Curry drops 40 and hits 7 or 8 triples.
Yeah.
Now, until we see him do it, and there is a little more fluidity in his movements and his cutting.
The question will be there. Is he banged up? I don't think he is.
I think he's a little hobbled. I think he's a little bit banged up.
He didn't look like it. I think he's just he looked tired,
I think
BT.
He's a little hobbled. Well, I mean, he hasn't played a lot of basketball
the
last couple of months here.
Of course. And now he's running around. I mean, the thing about Steph that you can never, you know, fault him on is that he is willing to do everything, both sides of the court, right? He's going to run after you and work his ass off defensively.
Yeah.
Even if he's getting embarrassed. Even if he's getting overworked, even if he's getting, you know, stepped back on and stepped over and everything, he's going to work his butt off.
The whole team's like that. That's why they're great.
True.
Klay Thompson plays D. Draymond plays D. Durant plays D. Livingston gets after you.
But Steph, to your point, he hasn't played a lot of basketball over the last 2 months. Mm. I mean, he was banged up at the end of the season, and he had to work his way back into playoff shape. And, I mean, did they really put in an effort in the first couple of rounds? No. It wasn't. It was. Now he's having to work. And it's starting to look like he's fatigued. Mm. And that shows up on the offensive side for him. Also on the defensive side, because they score at will on him. But on the offensive side, he's not putting the ball in the basket. And regardless of what KD does, if Steph doesn't have his day, the Golden State Warriors struggle to win. It's not like they can't win,
yep,
but they do struggle to win when Steph Curry is not being Steph Curry.
Steph Curry needs to be a constant rather than the variable.
Exactly.
That he's been.
Exactly.
Is what you're saying.
And if KD,
I agree with that, by the way.
Who has one assist in two games. KD has one assist in two games. Mm. He scores 38 points a night, but he has one assist in two games. So clearly they're saying, take the dude off the dribble, shoot over him, do whatever. Do whatever you want to do, KD. The variable has become Steph Curry. So give D'Antoni some credit. He found the weakness a little bit, the Achilles heel for this Golden State Warriors team. Let's wear out Steph. His plus minus was negative 20. Mm-hmm. Not that anybody had a good one.
The entire starting five was like minus 20.
Agreed.
and worse.
Agreed. But he was, I mean, he looked bad.
He did. Yeah, he looked like a player. If he didn't have the MVP equity, the championship equity, if he wasn't such a good guy, not that, you know, demeanor should necessarily...
It
does on some level persuade and direct the venom or the softness in which you critique. Mm-hmm. It's just natural. It is. We're human beings. We hear what we hear and we see what we see. But Steph Curry right now, today, let's be honest, deserves, I'm not going to say deserves to get destroyed, but Steph Curry deserves to be the brunt, the focal point, the main source of whether it's Warriors ire,
mm-hmm,
or people like you and I breaking down this game.
Yeah.
He was terrible last night.
And it is
a problem.
And it is a problem. We saw it in game one. He was a defensive liability. And now if he's only going to score 16 points and shoot 1 of 8 from three-point range, and he fires him up like he always does, he gets down in the lane. He thinks he can be tricky with all those, you know, crossovers and switches. But, you know, Clint Capela is a pretty big force down there.
Yeah, he is.
He's not just throwing up trick shots and then coming off the glass and going in, mm-hmm, with a big rim defender like the Houston Rockets have. I think the Rockets have found a little bit of a formula here.
Oh, I agree.
That will be countered, because I trust Steve Kerr will do that.
Yep.
But the Rockets have the guards to defend him, right? They have the big men to frustrate him if he should go down into the lane. And then on the other side of the court, they wear him out. Defensively, meaning Steph's on defense, they wear him out, and it shows. He looked fatigued, BT, and if he's fatigued and he has nights like this consistently, Houston seriously has a chance to win this series.
Man, I can't wait for game three. This is going to be incredible.
Yeah.
I mean, it's going to be incredible because for the first time, you know, there's an element, I don't want to overstate this, mm-hmm, but there's an element of vulnerability.
Poor BT, they lost by 22, man.
Yeah, no, I hear you. That's crept into this,
yes,
Warriors, you know, that armor, which, yep, was impenetrable for, mm-hmm, years, seemingly.
Yep.
And literally impenetrable because, you know, well, outside of, you know, when Kyrie stuck to three. But you know what I mean? Really, since this train left the station, mm-hmm, that has treated us all to a different style of basketball, the different pace, a different speed, different aesthetics. This is the first time where I think we could really sit here and give pause and say,
mm-hmm,
I'm not sure what's next.
Agreed.
I think I know what's next. I think they'll respond. I kind of have confidence, but till they tip it up and I see it on Sunday, I don't know.
Yeah. If this was a possession loss, I'd still have the same feeling I had a couple days ago.
Well, because if they lost in the same manner, if they just kept going at Steph Curry,
yes,
making him retreat,
yes,
and making him the focal point of their attack, if he doesn't show the ability to move quicker, that's not going to change.
No.
That's going to be a constant throughout the series here. So we got a little length. All right, 1-855-212-4227, Tiki and Tierney Show. So we all had, and this is what makes it fun along the way. We kind of take the temperature every day. You know, we do this with the NFL season. Every game almost mm-hmm, you know, represents a season. When you get to the conference finals, especially a jarring defeat, you know, this is a one of the, I think Ward and I were talking before the show. I think it went off at like 2 points, right? So the Warriors were 2 point dogs. So you're getting points there. And by the way, Vegas was just begging you to bet the Warriors.
Yeah.
I mean, I think it actually at one point it was 1 and 1.5 and you said it went off at 2. So there was, you know, some late money in that direction. But I think that now everybody's looking at the series. I really think people are confused.
You have to be.
Which makes it awesome.
You have to be.
Let's get some calls, take your pulse, see what you think. Whatever you thought coming in, what do you think now heading into the weekend? And going back to Oracle, which is a hellhole. That place, in a good way. I mean, that place is intimidating. It's loud. It's got edge. It's got history now. So it is on. Let's get some calls. We'll get to LeBron a little bit later. Inbounds, out of bounds as well. And Hard Knocks. Baker Mayfield. We see you. We'll get to that as well. Tiki and Tierney, CBS Sports Radio.
Man, it was a long winter, wasn't it? But summer is almost here, and there's lots to do and a whole lot of places to go. This Memorial Day weekend, the top priority on your list should be getting your vehicle in shape for the season. You'll find the easiest place to do that is at O'Reilly Auto Parts. From changing the oil and filter to inspecting the braking system and replacing cracked wiper blades, you'll be amazed what can happen to your vehicle when you put it in front of the professional parts people. Next thing you know, you'll have your vehicle ready to hit the road in great condition in no time. At O'Reilly Auto Parts, you'll find thousands of parts and accessories at guaranteed low prices. Everything you need for whatever curves the road throws your way. And of course, plenty of expert help. The best way to start an unforgettable summer is on Memorial Day. So this Memorial Day weekend, get your car, truck, SUV, or van in prime condition for the hottest time of the year. Take it to O'Reilly Auto Parts. Better parts, better prices every day.
Okay, let's hammer out these phones, give you a chance to jump in on the hoops. But first up, Def Leppard. You know the music that you just heard. Listen, still hearing it. Journey, two of rock's most iconic bands touring together this summer. It's a 58-city tour that runs through some great stadiums, outdoor venues. The Wrigley Field starts May 21st, by the way. Coors Field, Fenway Park, Busch Stadium, and AT&T in San Francisco. It's also going to be at the Garden here in New York City, the Fabulous Forum in L.A. Tickets for this incredible show, just go to LiveNation.com or Ticketmaster.com. Keep it right here, though. That's how you win tickets on Tiki and Tierney to the concert of your choice. Here's how we do it. Only a couple of more days, Teak. Just today and tomorrow, and that's it.
I know it.
And it'll be 10.
Two more opportunities.
That's right. Time's ticking. So when you hear the Def Leppard and Journey sound, they're in the 5 Eastern hour today. Be the correct caller at 855-212-4CBS. That's 855-212-4227 for your shot to win. Brought to you by Live Nation and us, CBS Sports Radio. For complete contest rules, go to cbssportsradio.com/rules. In the meantime, use that phone number to get some calls here, which we will, reacting to last night. Also, a lot of people still want to jump in on the conversation you and I had about the Cavaliers and LeBron yesterday. I got a lot of tweets about it. I did want to clarify one thing.
Go ahead.
I started the show yesterday, and it hit me during the game, and I started the show. I didn't tell Teak I was going to this direction. I said, you know, I'm at the point now where I no longer find his situation interesting. There's no intrigue. It's not really, for so long it was palpable. Can he win a first championship for Cleveland? Is he going to leave? Is he going to finally get, you know, is he going to get his first one with Miami? You know, all these things that we follow. And I fully stand by that. I just don't really want to watch LeBron play anymore because I don't want to have to watch the other guys next to him in order to watch LeBron play.
How bad it was.
Yes. However, here's the one thing that I probably should have added yesterday. That doesn't mean I'm not interested in the next chapter of LeBron's career.
Oh, yeah.
I know, but I didn't say that. I think some people misunderstood.
I hear you.
Like I was putting him in the legend graveyard. No.
Yeah.
Still a beast. Still great.
No.
And his free agent pursuit and his next destination and his next pursuit of a championship.
No doubt.
Is going to be amazing.
Well,
I'm all in.
I got to tell you, if and when they lose to the Boston Celtics in the Eastern Conference Finals.
No ifs, but anyway, go ahead.
You know what I mean.
Yeah, well, I don't know. Do you mean it? Because you said if or when.
I made a prediction. We have the prediction. The Cavs are going to lose the first two in Boston, and they're going to sweep the next four and get to the NBA Finals. That's my prediction. Until they lose game 3 or 4, whatever, I got to stick with it because I said it, right? And you made me say it like...
Well, I've adjusted a few times mid-series.
But you made me say it like profoundly.
I did.
You made me say it with like conviction.
Yeah.
I said it like... Yeah, they're going to lose the first two.
Because you didn't believe it. That's why
I said it like
that.
Of course I didn't believe it, but it just sounded good. I wanted to have it on the record, but you made me put it on the record on blast in like a major way.
That's right, because your partner wants the show to look good
exactly,
or really bad. Because
exactly.
If it looks really bad, then it could still be interesting, and interesting's good.
Until that's not happening,
yeah.
I'm sticking with it. But here's the thing. So if and when, or when, they lose to the Boston Celtics in the Eastern Conference Finals, I I mean, the NBA Finals are going to be interesting, obviously. Uh-huh. But the conversation about around LeBron mm-hmm. is going to be a very close second, maybe even supersede it in some regards, depending on what happens in the NBA Finals. Where he's going next
yep.
is going to be unbelievable dialogue.
You know, in some way, it wouldn't surprise me. Let's just push this thing forward. Celtics, eventually, they dump the Cavaliers, which they will. And then the Cavs are done, and the Celtics play the winner of the Rockets-Warriors. Would it surprise you to hear, you know, whether it's a Woj bomb, mm-hmm. you know, whether it's Stephen A., whether it's our buddy Bobby Marks. Yeah. I mean, anybody who covers the NBA that's really piped in and has juice and has hookup, you know, really knows what's going on. Would it surprise you if the conversation about LeBron's next destination permeated the NBA Finals
no
coverage?
No doubt. It definitely
will. Of
course
it's going to happen.
Of course it will. I mean, even if he doesn't give an indication that he's going somewhere.
That's what I mean.
It's going to be part of the conversation.
Which would be so unfair to somebody like Chris Paul.
I agree.
Or the Warriors, you know, trying to that extra leg to the dynasty.
It's almost, the Celtics. I got to tell you, it's almost like you can't even help that conversation is going to happen.
Oh, it's happening.
Of course. Now, the question will be, will LeBron have learned? And I think the answer is yes. Will he have learned his lesson from how he exited Cleveland the first time? Is he going to make it a big to-do? Or is he going to do it very quietly?
There's no way he's
going to
do that.
He's got to do it very kind of quietly, you know. And but I don't know how he does it quietly. But he's got to. I don't know. It's got to be different. It's got to be 180 degrees different than it was how he did the first time.
But I think already when he returned to Cleveland, it was when he left Miami. Didn't he wrote the article with SI? Right. That wasn't Players Tribune. That was the SI piece.
Yeah, it was.
Where he said, I'm coming home, and it was a pretty profound. It was well written. It was interesting. It was good.
Yeah, Lee Jenkins, right? Who did the SI?
Yeah, Jenkins. That's right.
So it wasn't. I mean, this is gonna be compelling. Like the story, the narrative, his thought process.
No
who's
doubt.
Who's close to him? Who's saying what? Who's mm-hmm. who's believing this? And where he's ultimately gonna go? But it's got to be tame. Now the difference from him leaving Miami is that it was accepted he was gonna come back. Everybody kind of said that's actually cool. Whereas when he left to go to Miami, he was like, oh, that's messed up.
Oh, it'll be a different tone.
Yeah. So
especially if he joins somebody like. Yeah, I mean, he's never joined the Warriors, but if he joined
like
the
Philly.
Sixers or, you know, it's going to be thick. The intrigue is no doubt. Let's get Anthony first up, get some calls, Teak. Anthony's in New Jersey, first up on Teak and Tierney, CBS Sports Radio. Ant, what's happening? How are you, buddy?
Good, how are you?
All right, what you got?
Well, I think the only way for the Warriors to keep moving up is if they trade Steph Curry.
Come on!
No, he's got such a big contract and he's always hurt. I mean, the only way for them to really move forward is to get a young guy with all the veterans, surround him by the veterans, and I don't know, maybe trade Curry to the Bucks or something.
Hold on, Anthony, don't hang up. I'm gonna give you Mulligan. Right? I'm gonna give you a chance to avoid embarrassing yourself again. Like whatever you just said, you really didn't just say.
Yeah, think about another take and let's try it again. Ready?
Exhale. Let those brain wires fire in a different direction. Let's hit the phones, Teak. See what's happening. Anthony's in New Jersey, and Anthony's on Teak and Tierney CBS Sports. Tony, what do you got, buddy? What's happening?
No. I'm sticking with it. You know what I said.
Well, we gotta go. Tony's no longer with us. How about?
There's no way they're getting rid of
that. Stick with that, Curry. Then we bounce you. Yeah. Danny's in Miami, Florida. Danny is on Teak and Tierney. How are you today, Danny? What's going on?
Watch, they're
going
to trade
up,
Steph
guys?
Curry. What's up, Danny? How you doing, man?
Trade Steph.
What's going on? Teak and Tierney, good Danny time, baby. Let's get this thing going.
Hey, I like it, man. What you got for us?
Yeah, look, I think LeBron's a bit overrated. Obviously, MJ is better than him.
Yeah, but you're talking about maybe the greatest player ever. I can't be overrated.
Wait, everybody stop. I can't tell my partner to stop, but may you stop for 1 second?
Yes.
I have to do something right now.
Yes.
Everybody's got to. What's everybody drinking
I'm
today?
I'm telling you. Stop drinking the water, people.
Is there this really, like, you know, clandestine plan to ruin and sabotage our show? Because we've taken two calls, and Danny, with all due respect, that may have been worse than the first one. I mean, what's going on here today?
LeBron's overrated.
What in the world is going on with this?
I don't get it. Do you understand that? What was he saying?
LeBron's overrated is what he's saying.
James filling in for Samter, who's out. James, you took this call. You screened it, right?
Yeah, not a great showing for me so far.
What did he say to you when you first answered the phone?
Not what he said on the air. His take was, listen, Cavs are down 2-0. Can LeBron come back and take Cleveland to the finals again?
Yes. And he said, LeBron's overrated. He's not Jordan.
Now we have to get ready for the act, man. See what he's up to. Oh, boy. He's going to hack up the update after a couple of hack calls.
Hey, it only goes up after those calls.
Hey, John and Mike, who are hanging on right now, and a couple of these other calls, make sure you come with something correct on the other side of this break, please.
Come correct.
Pretty please.
In succinct terms. Yeah. Come correct. Listen, we always say this on the show. We'll let you talk. We'll let you battle. We'll let you go nuts. We want you to challenge us. But don't embarrass yourself. And by extension, please don't embarrass us, because that's what's happened so far to start the show. All right, CBS Sports Radio's toll-free line is 855-212-4227, brought to you by GEICO. Hey, everybody, quick way to save money. Switch to GEICO, whether it's homeowners, renters, or motorcycle insurance. Get it all at GEICO.com. Time for the hack, man.
The hack, Rich, man cometh.
Admit, does this bother you? You don't care when I call you the hacker, right?
No,
Hackerman or any variation of... Have you, though?
I think. I'm sure at some point.
I don't know. Rome calls you Smackerman.
That's okay.
I call you Hackerman.
That's okay. Call me anything but late for dinner.
But I'm mean with a smile.
You got an edge to you.
I always have an edge.
Yeah. It's okay.
We get more calls coming up. Inbounds, out of bounds. Dodgers still going?
No, it's final, thankfully.
All right. Axe got all the update. Here is, out of respect, here's Rich Ackerman. Axe, go get him, buddy.
This week on my podcast, Tiki's Barbershop, sponsored by GEICO, I got to talk with President and CEO of New York Roadrunners, Michael Caparaso. He was amazing, talking about New York City Marathon and the upcoming Brooklyn Half Marathon, which
Brooklyn's
I'll be trying.
In the house.
Brooklyn and have run by BT's old stomping grounds, too.
I'll be cheering. I won't be running.
Go to iTunes, Google Play, or Spotify to download the podcast. And great news, there's a quick way that you can save money. Switch to GEICO. Go to GEICO.com, and in 15 minutes, you could save 15% or more on car insurance.
All right, Teak, sounds good. Buddy, inbounds, out of bounds, coming up here in a few minutes. Teaky and Tierney, CBS Sports Radio, CBS Sports Network. Looks like Bud and the Bucks are a done deal. We'll get to that a little later. Rick Bucher, our buddy for Bleacher Report, Sirius XM, and my old colleague out in San Francisco. Bucher is obviously piped into what's going down in Oracle. And the Warriors will join. He'll come on around 4:40 Eastern. And also the Browns are this year's Hard Knocks team. Looking forward to that. So we've got a lot happening, inbounds, out of bounds in a moment, as I said. But we got to try to make amends for these horrific calls we've had so far. And I think it's probably safe to start with somebody who has proven himself before. Let's go to our buddy Freddie out in Utah.
Definitely.
Who's usually very, very solid. Freddie, what's going on, buddy? Tiki and Tierney, how are you today?
I'm good, fellas. Thanks for taking my call. Tiki, what's happening, brother?
All is good, my friend. You doing well?
I'm doing well, man. The weather's getting nice, so being in the delivery business this time of year is good going.
Yeah, hey, Freddie, I got a question for you, by the way. I got a question for you.
Go ahead.
I know that, like, certain states in that region, a little further north, obviously, like the Dakotas and Montana, there's really not a whole lot of high school baseball. Is high school baseball, I know it's kind of a random question, but you just mentioned the weather. Is high school baseball prevalent in Utah, or is it just too cold?
Oh, no, it's big time. It's big time. I mean, okay. It almost goes year-round nowadays. These kids play. I see them in parks. My boys play basketball and football, but I see baseball and that friend's who daughters like softball. That's huge.
Cool.
So, yeah, it's
okay. All right. Go ahead. Now we're talking
about you. I was worried about you, BT. I heard you going on, man, so I had to come and save you, man.
The lifeline.
Hey, we can't co-sign those takes.
This is terrible.
I mean, LeBron overrated. Steph's going to get traded. What?
Wow.
No, that was all crazy talk. But the playoffs have been great. The game last night was great. I thought for sure the winner was going to come out of the West. But watching those dogs in Boston and the way they play defense and the way they just get after it, it's not, to me, it's just going to be guaranteed that Houston or Golden State would win. And
that's an interesting
talk about
Fred, that's an interesting point, though, because for so much of the season, it's been the two best teams in basketball are the Warriors, or really the Rockets, and then the Warriors, and it was almost foregone that the Western Conference champion was going to be the winner. Even if Cleveland got there, it didn't seem really viable because of all the issues that they're having. And in Boston, they're just too young. But Boston, and we said this yesterday, we had this conversation maybe a couple days ago, they feel viable now. They feel like despite the loss of some of those guys, they can, of course they can win. Especially you throw in Brad Stevens as his coaching acumen. This Boston team is nothing to sniff at right now. Of course they can win. And even though before you wouldn't have thought so, It's changed my opinion. And they've changed my opinion in the postseason.
You know, I there's a lot of parts that I like about that statement. Mm-hmm. You know, the one thing that will force anybody to reevaluate is a matchup, something that presents itself.
But you don't know what that's going to look like till you see it. That's
true.
That's the only problem.
No doubt. But at least the Celtics have, you know, like roster or at least, you know, positional versatility. If they want to go fast, they can go fast. Mm-hmm. We know they're fast.
Yeah.
You go Brown, you go Tatum, you go Rozier, you go Smart. I mean, you just run and you could run with the Warriors. You ever want to go big? I mean, you could go Baines and Horford.
Yeah.
I mean, I don't know that you want to do that too long. But can you attack a weakness on the interior of the, more so for the Warriors, because they don't have a Capella type.
Yeah.
So, again, I'm not going to get on the air and say Celtics would beat the Warriors or the Rockets, but certainly would give them more of a chance mm-hmm. than I would have a week or two ago, you know? All right, ready for Inbounds, Out of Bounds? We'll get back to these calls in a sec. Sit tight. Inbounds, Out of Bounds?
Yeah, let's go.
Let's hit it.
Anything can happen in sports and often does. What's right? What's wrong? And who's just crazy? We decide. Inbounds and Out of Bounds now. With Tiki and Tierney.
Okay, good stuff. Inbounds, Out of Bounds brought to you by Discover Card. Stressing over college costs? Well, Discover Card student loans offer great rates, zero fees, plus a cash reward for good grades, so it pays to study. Visit DiscoverStudentLoans.com. Limitations do apply. All right, here we go. A little baseball out of the chute. This is an interesting one. So Rangers, they've got a hole to fill the third base. Obviously, Beltre's back on the DL this week. It was a couple of days ago. Mm-hmm. A possibility the Rangers were considering, kicking the tires on this, was asking first baseman Joey Gallo to make the move back to third. Now, as you know, he came up in the organization mm-hmm. as a third baseman. Gallo, however, not exactly co-signing the idea. Not enamored with it. Listen to this quote. I don't want it. I don't like it. I hate it. No joke. I hate third base. Wow. Then, of course, he says, I'll play there. I have no problem playing there. It's just a tough spot to be in. Nobody's ever asked me, but if they did, I'll tell them I'm playing. So he'll do it, but he hates it. That's the end of the quote. Gallo's hitting 200 with 13 home runs on the season. In or out, Joey Gallo's comments on potentially playing third base, in or out?
That's just completely inbounds, and it's only
inbounds.
Yeah, inbounds. You know why it's inbounds? Yeah. Because he's just trying to garner sympathy for himself. Of course, he wants to go. He wants to be out on the field doing whatever he has to do to help his team win. That's what anybody does. Mm-hmm. But if he does do it, he wants to be not just appreciated, but like extra appreciated that he's doing it.
So, how far is that going to get him when he butchers three balls at third base? They're going to be booing him.
You better hope he does.
He's really taking
one
for the team.
But that's why. But BT, that's why he says this, because he knows that if he tries to backhand one and it flips up and goes midway to left field, uh-huh. he's like, I told you I couldn't do it. I hate it. I'll get better at it. But I mean, look, he's given himself a shield mm-hmm. for if he has to go play third base and sucks a little bit
this
for a little
while.
This
is so far out of bounds. I totally disagree with you here.
Come
oh, my
on.
God. First of all, he's got no equity to even take this ridiculous position.
Why? He's hit 13 home runs on the season.
He's hitting 200.
It doesn't matter.
No, it does matter. I mean, if you hit 250, it doesn't. If you hit 200,
aren't you the one that tells me all the time these guys don't care about striking
out?
But not if
you're hitting 201.
Nobody cares about averaging.
I mean, if you're hitting 250, sure.
Where is he? 13 home runs is damn near leading the league.
Take his career average is 200.
Okay.
Career average in four seasons.
I'm looking at home runs.
Okay, listen, here's the thing. He is.
That's all I care about.
Keep in mind, Gallo came up.
Who's Mendoza?
He played with Bryce Harper, played with Chris. Played with those boys,
of course.
Chris Bryant out in Henderson, Nevada at Bishop Gorman, I think, is the high school. This was a first round pick. First round pick who's hitting 201 for his career. Shut your mouth and go where they tell you to go. Really, nothing else needs to be said.
What if he hits 45 home runs this year?
Great. I mean, but he's never done that, so why would he do that now?
He's got 13 already.
All right. And by the way, they deployed a shift the other night where every single person, every human being, was on the right part of second base. Not a single person. Shortstop, third base, left field, center field. Everybody was right. I mean, this guy's kind of a joke. I mean, the way they attack him
defensively. He had 41 home runs last year. I don't think that's a joke.
He's got pop. Shut your mouth. And your team stinks. Go where they tell you to go.
Hey, what you want to do? You're paid, son.
Are you in or are you out?
That's a pretty brazen approach for a guy who's hitting 201 every season. Please. All right, LeBron James and the Cavaliers and their head coach, Ty Lue, both reportedly wanted the team to make a move. This would have been This would have really made things different, maybe. The trade deadline for Clippers center DeAndre Jordan. Now, DJ's 29 mm-hmm. years old. We know what he does, 12 points around the rim, a lot of rim action, putbacks and alley-oops, 15 rebounds this season. for the Clippers. Now, the Cavs, of course, they acquired Hood and Clarkson and Larry Nance and George Hill rather than going after DeAndre Jordan at the deadline step. In or out, the Cavs would have been better off trading for DeAndre Jordan rather than the deadline deals that they did make.
Yeah, I think this is out of bounds because he doesn't bring you anything that fits the way that LeBron wants to play the game, which is drive and kick and find guys who are open. DeAndre Jordan on this Cavaliers team would have clogged the lane, which would not have been good for LeBron's game. Plus, should LeBron leave, as we've just been alluding to, some of these younger guys may be interesting pieces to which they can build around something around. I don't know what it would look like, but I think it's better that they didn't get DJ as opposed to the other four guys they got.
I'd like to offer a little diversity here, but I got to tell you, I think you nailed both points. And I think maybe the second point was maybe even better than the first. And the first one was pretty good. If you're going to protect yourself, my answer is out of bounds as well. If you're going to protect yourself and guard against, and all smart teams have to include this in their thought process, if LeBron bounces, and he will, then at least you've got some pieces that you would think will be somewhat emboldened by, you know, playing this deep into the season, come back with a little more ownership of the team, and they're young, and they have good, you know, good ceilings, a little more projectable. DeAndre Jordan's almost 30, and his game's predicated on bounce and elasticity and explosion. Not that he's going to lose it in a year or two, but yeah, that would get you nowhere. You know, DeAndre Jordan, really nothing else around them, or very little. So I agree with you, out of bounds. I think that's a good call.
Are you in or are you out?
All right, Tegelo College Football. We always like a little verbal battle here. And starting to get the early parts of one. Nick Saban took some jabs at UCF for the way they celebrated, which was a little over the top. Hey, come on. For the undefeated season.
Banners, rings, everything.
Rings, the banners. I mean, come on. They're national championships, in case you missed the memo. So Saban and Alabama, of course, we know that they won the championship. But former UCF head coach Scott Frost fired back yesterday saying, quote, Alabama has probably won one or two championships that they claim that weren't necessarily recognized by anybody. End quote. Scott Frost doing a little homework there.
Yeah, man.
In or out. UCF should be celebrating their season. I already know your answer. As national champion.
Inbounds, man. This is inbounds. There's one of these accredited, I don't know if they're accredited, I'll use the word because it sounds cool, accredited bodies that says UCF is the national champions in college football. So, hell yeah, they should celebrate.
What's the name of that accredited body that nobody knows about?
I'll look it up at some point.
But you don't know it.
I don't know off the top of my head. It does matter because it exists.
Well, if it mattered, do you know the name? Like, I would know the name. It doesn't matter.
Scott Frost is a friend, so I like, I'm back at Scott Frost. I want to find it. And by the way, I think it's the same one that UCF uses. Also awarded Alabama a national championship way back in the 50s.
But was that the only one that awarded Alabama the championship?
No, no, no. It's always been multiples.
That's what I'm saying.
It's always been That year, yes, it was.
For Alabama?
Yes.
Oh, that's interesting.
So I got to go find this because I looked it up before when UCF first started claiming national championships.
Didn't think you'd say that last part.
I'm going to find it.
I'm going to stay firm, though. I'm going to say out of bounds here. Listen, there's the bit, first of all, from a school, which is their only priority. I get that. I'm answering it from my purview, not theirs. All right?
Yep.
If I'm running the school, you know, this is getting some legs on a national show like this, both on radio and TV.
Multiple times we've talked about it.
No doubt. And, you know, it's been prominently positioned on websites. And, you know, I know Kornheiser and Wilmot have hit this, which is a great show. And, you know, I mean, there's a lot of people that react to this, so it's not a bad thing.
The Kali Matrix, by the way.
Oh, that's right, the Kali Matrix. So, you know, they are furthering their own cause. It might lead to one more recruit. It might lead to one more whatever.
You're right.
Which is a great thing.
They got to do what they got to do.
But my purview, little much, little corny. You start trotting out rings. You want to have something symbolic? I'm with you. Something tangible? Like a banner? In your stadium?
It's symbolic.
A little out of bounds.
These guys want to celebrate going undefeated.
A little corny. I'm not saying that they didn't go undefeated. I just don't think they were the champions. And I don't think really anybody else does but you and UCF.
Are you in or are you out?
All right, Teak, how about the Dodgers? Hey, the Dodgers won today. Woo! So they've got the second worst record in the NL. And they are 17-26. They won. What was it? They beat the Marlins 7-0, right? All right, so that's the final. They went into Miami, and they smacked them around. They're tied with the Marlins. Now, remember, Jeter just ripped apart this Marlins team. Stanton, Yelich, I mean, just traded everybody. They got the same record as the Marlins.
That's bad.
That is terrible. So they are basically sharing the basement with the Reds and the Marlins and some other teams, blah, blah, blah. Both their GM and president publicly supporting Dave Roberts, their skipper, but expectations were obviously high coming into the season. incredible payroll, some good players as well. In or out, Dave Roberts' job is on the line with this putrid Dodgers star.
I'm saying out of bounds. Their best pitcher is on the DL. Seager's on the DL. They're just underperforming. And they were in the World Series last year. They're not firing him a year after he was in the World Series.
Mm-hmm.
So, out of bounds. You're
going to rest the case on that?
Out of bounds.
You know, I don't think I need to mount a real passionate defense of Dave Roberts here.
Yeah.
I'm kind of with you. I'm totally with you. Out of bounds as well. Just to point out something a little different, you know, when you don't have your number three hitter, as they didn't have up until the last two games.
Yep.
Jeff Turner played today. He had, five ribbies?
Yeah,
Justin Turner. Three hits, five ribbies?
Yeah.
This guy's a professional 320, 330 hitter every year.
No doubt.
He's a star player. So they lost their foundation. They've been banged up, as Tiki said. Maybe a little residual hangover from the World Series. I don't think they're very good, but I do think that Dave Roberts deserves the chance to fight through this.
Agreed.
I'm with you, out of bounds.
Tune in next time for another edition of Inbounds or Out of Bounds with Tiki and Tierney.
What's the name of that again? The what matrix?
The Collie matrix.
Is it C-O-L-L-I-E? Is it C-O-L-L-E-Y?
No, I think it's C-O-L-E-Y, I think. C-O-L-L-E-Y. I don't know.
I think Collie would be two L's. Kind of change the pronunciation.
That'd be Cooley. Like Coolio.
Coolio.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.